It was night, and shepherds were watching their flocks in the fields. Bethlehem was the closest town, but it wasn't a big town. So you can imagine just how dark the sky was. If you've ever been out at a place where you're camping, you're out at night, and there's no city lights, and you look up and you can see the darkness of the sky and the billions of stars. That's what it was like for the shepherds. They're in their fields. The sky is dark. They're looking at the stars. And what was about to happen, we still talk about today. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared and with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." That was God's one birth announcement. Pretty impressive stuff. The announcement started with a single angel and concluded with a whole host of angels praising God. I mean, most people just send out a picture for a birth announcement. God's birth announcement involved the glory of the Lord and an angelic choir. Now imagine for a moment, you don't know the story. And I mentioned to you, God was going to send someone to announce the most amazing, incredible, joyous news ever, the birth of his son Jesus, who will be the Savior for the whole world. Who would you expect to receive that birth announcement? Who do you think would be invited to come and see? You'd expect an event like that to be announced to the elite, the famous, the important people. Political leaders, governors, magistrates, Emperor Caesar, the king, King Herod, the mayor of Jerusalem. You'd expect them to hear. Religious leaders, rabbis, synagogue officials, the high priests in Jerusalem. You'd think they'd get involved. Men and women of distinction, the news media. But none of them got the birth announcement. The palace didn't hear, the temple didn't hear, Jerusalem didn't hear. God's only birth announcement went out to a group of anonymous sheep herders on the outskirts of Bethlehem. Sheep herders. God invited a ragtag group of shepherds to come and see the newborn baby. That's why they're in our nativity scenes. And they almost look like they belong in the nativity scenes. You know, the cute little shepherd with their crook and their sheep. But the truth is, they were in that day the very last people you'd expect to receive God's one and only birth announcement. Shepherds were religious outcasts. According to the religious law, shepherds were unclean because their work was 7 days a week. It prevented them from participating in the feasts and the holy days of the Jewish calendar. While everyone else was making the trip to Jerusalem to sacrifice at the temple or participate in the feasts, shepherds were out in the fields, watching over their flocks. That made them unclean, religious outcasts. Not only were they religious outcasts, they were also social outcasts. Shepherding was, as you can imagine, a 24/7 job. You don't go home at night. During the day, you led your sheep to grass and water. Then you watched them while they gazed, keeping an eye out for predators like wolves. At night, You slept in the sheep pen to guard against thieves and predators. And since you were constantly on the move to find new pastures for your flocks, you were considered an untrustworthy nomad. Back then in those days, shepherds were not permitted to give testimony in a legal proceeding because their word wasn't considered trustworthy or honest. As one rabbi said, you will find that there is no more contemptible occupation in the world than that of a shepherd. Shepherds lived out in the fields. They spent a lot of time with sheep, but not a lot of time with other people. Thus, they were considered social outcasts. They had a contemptible occupation. Let me just say one other thing about shepherds, and this is kind of an aside, but oftentimes people bring it up with me, and so I just thought I'd clarify it for you this morning. Those shepherds were not out in their fields on December 25th. Luke 2:8 says this, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." Those words tell us Jesus was not born on December 25th. Sheep were not out in their fields in the winter. Sheep were out in the fields from March to November. Any other time, it was too cold. The fact of the matter is, nobody knows for sure when Jesus was born. Around 200 AD, there were a couple of dates floated around. One was May 20th, the other was April 20 or 21. But we don't know when Jesus was born. What we do know is Jesus was not born on December 25th. Almost certainly, December 25th was chosen because it was a well-known pagan festival. And what the church did is the church replaced the pagan festival with the Christian celebration of the birth of the Christ child. The idea was this: it's easier to take away an unholy festival from the population when you can replace it with an even better festival. And so it's likely that the shepherds, these social and religious outcasts, were probably in their fields in the spring when all this took place. Let me just give you a few reflections on the shepherds this morning for us. When we read the story of God's birth announcement, a question should pop into our heads. And the question is this: why them? Why did God send his angels to announce the birth of Jesus to a group of shepherds? I think by doing that, God was showing us he doesn't play favorites. He doesn't discriminate on the basis of class or wealth or social standing. Also, by choosing the shepherds to first receive the good news of Christ's birth, God was telling us that Jesus was not going to just be the Savior of the political and the social and the religious elite. Jesus was going to be the Savior of everyone, regardless of their wealth or their social standing or their intelligence or their education or their profession or their political power or their sexuality or any other qualities that we judge by today. God chose shepherds to show us the birth of Jesus was good news and is good news for everyone, whoever you are and whatever you've done. Listen again to verse 10. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." All the people. That's everyone. And I would suggest to you, as we are in Advent 2020, people today need good news. This has been a tough year on so many people. And people are searching for good news. And we have, as Christ followers, good news for all the people. What is the good news? What is the good news of Christmas? Verse 11. The angel said, today in the town of David, that's Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. A Savior, a rescuer, a Redeemer has been born. Although God created the world to be good, as a result of human sin and systemic evil and spiritual warfare, we all know our world is broken and is full of violence and division and pride and greed and injustice and pain and addiction and disease and death. And the people in this world, the people in our city, need to be healed and renewed and restored. We all need a Savior. And 2,000 years ago, in a village of Bethlehem, a Savior was born. Born to rescue this world. Born to restore all things. Born to redeem and reconcile humanity. The proclamation of Christmas is God and sinners reconciled. Notice the angel also said that he's the Messiah. The anointed one. The one who was spoken of in the Old Testament. The one whom the Jewish people have been waiting for thousands of years. Not only was the Christ child the Savior and the Messiah, but it also says he was the Lord, the King, the ruler. Let's be really clear on something on this third week of Advent. We don't make Jesus King or Lord. God the Father made Jesus Lord and King. What we do as human beings is we just acknowledge His Lordship. And when we do that, things change. It says in Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Those three words change everything. Do you realize those three words are words of surrender? When I say Jesus is Lord, do you know what that means? That means I'm not. My rights aren't. My money isn't. My career isn't. My family isn't. It means He's King, He's Lord, and nothing else is. And when I say Jesus is Lord, everything becomes new and different. Everything. Because what you're really doing when you say Jesus is Lord is you're coming under His Lordship. You say, God, I'm surrendering to You. We're submitting ourselves to Jesus, the Savior and the Messiah and the King. We're submitting ourselves to His authority and His kingship and His rulership. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. He is the Messiah, the Lord. That there is God's gift of grace to us. That God sent His only Son, born in a small town, Savior, Messiah, Lord. That is God's gift of grace to us at Christmas. Our response is to say yes to following Him and let Him be the Savior and the Messiah and the Lord in our life. And let me just ask you on this third Sunday of Advent, do you need to do that today? Do you need to do that today? Today, do you say, Jesus, I want to say yes to following you. I want to say Jesus is Lord, meaning I'm not. Meaning he's king, he's ruler over my life, not me. I think the greatest gift someone can give themselves at Advent is to come into a relationship with Jesus. And say, Jesus, thank you for your gift of grace at Christmas. A Savior, a Messiah, a Lord. I want to follow him. I want him to be my king. I want to live in his kingdom under his rulership. Because that's the best place for me to be. As human beings, we are wired up to have a relationship with God. And when we have a relationship with God, all our other relationships change. When we get peace with God, we can have peace with ourselves. We can have peace with others. But until we get peace with God, it is very hard to have peace with ourselves and peace with others. So I want to encourage you today to say yes to following Jesus. I want to encourage you today to make Jesus Lord and say, Jesus is Lord of my life. He is already Lord. He's already the King of Kings. But acknowledge his lordship in your life. Here's another reflection, a second one. The shepherds, did you notice in the story? The shepherds literally became living birth announcements. It says in verse 15, when the shepherds had left them, and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Fear turned to excitement, and the shepherds ran off in the middle of the night, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, and after they found them, they couldn't contain themselves. They'd encountered the Christ child, and they had to tell others. Have you ever noticed that good news has to be shared? Here's a picture of my first grandchild, Leaf. Is that adorable or what? That is cute, right? Kim, that's cute. Kim shaking your head, that's cute. That is one adorable child. You know, I can't help talking about Leaf. Leaf is come into our life and he has brought us joy. And I can't help sharing pictures and talking about him. And it's just good news has to be shared. And that there is good news. Likewise, when we encounter the Christ child, that is good news. And good news has to be shared. You can't contain good news. You just have to speak about it. And these shepherds, they couldn't contain themselves. They became living birth announcements. And all who heard them were amazed at what they said. I bet they were. Because the very last people you would expect to be talking about the Messiah and the Savior and the Lord were a bunch of ragtag shepherds from the hills of Bethlehem. But those shepherds had encountered God. They met the Christ child, and now they couldn't keep the good news to themselves. Good news needs to be shared, and that's exactly what the shepherds did. And so they went out and they shared with everyone. And once they'd heard the good news, once they responded to the good news, they shared with everyone, and the people were amazed. And listen, once we hear and respond to the good news of Christmas, once we encounter the living Christ, we too should become living birth announcements. Just like the shepherds, we too should desire to share the good news of great joy that has been given to us. When you encounter Jesus as Savior and Messiah and Lord, that encounter should change you, and it should cause you to want to go out and share the good news with others. So let me ask you, this Advent season, who in your realm of influence needs to hear the good news? Who in your realm of influence needs to hear the good news? Another way to phrase that is, who can you share the good news with this Advent season? Who can you share the good news with this Advent season? Are you willing to become a living birth announcement? Has Jesus touched you in a way that you just can't help but share the good news? It's good news of great joy, and it's for everyone. Who can you share the good news with this Advent? One last reflection on the shepherds, and it's this. In the midst of an ordinary night, humble shepherds encountered an extraordinary God. And that encounter caused them to worship. Verse 19 says this. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told. They heard the birth announcement. They encountered the Christ child. And now these tough, rather crude outcasts, these men you'd never want your daughter to date, these shepherds were returning to the fields, glorifying and praising God. They were worshiping. Worship was springing from their hearts. Can't you just imagine it? Can't you just imagine it? There they are, these Mideastern shepherds returning to their fields. They weren't being stoic. They were just high-fiving one another. They were worshiping with everything they had. And worship should also be our response when we encounter Jesus. When we encounter who he is and what he has done, when we consider a Savior has been born to us and he is the Messiah and the Lord, that news should cause us to spring up and worship, because joy to the world, the Lord has come.